In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I had a really interesting chat with Vaughn Emery. Now, Vaughn is the founder and CEO of Autonomy, which is a company focused on security protocol for the Internet of Things. So we talk a lot about the importance of security as we get more connected, and also how they're using the Ethereum blockchain to do their business. And we also have some really interesting conversation about the future of cryptocurrencies. Now, I learned so much talking to Vaughn, so I really hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Vaughn. How are you?
Hi, Zoe. I am fine, thanks. How are you?
I am very well. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about?
Sure. So, Vaughn Emery, founder of Autonomy. We are a blockchain-based cybersecurity platform focused on protecting and securing the Internet of Things. Technology executive for 20 years, been in the space. Past 10 years, really thinking about cybersecurity and the impact that it has on a rapidly connecting world. So I love the space. And I'm very passionate about kind of trying to solve that problem for the world as we move forward.
Yeah, awesome. So what kind of sparked your interest in this space? I mean, obviously this is the Smart City Podcast, so we're talking about smart cities, but specifically the area that you're working in, I'm really keen to hear how you came to be in that space.
Well, I've been in technology space for the most of my career and in cybersecurity for the past 10 years. And as an industry, we don't really have that good of grade. There's caused some data breaches. Most people have been affected by or fearful of cybersecurity. So the technologies that we have deployed and the pace at which bad actors or adversaries are able to deploy their own technologies has created a bit of a challenge. So what I do kind of day-to-day is work on technologies that protect data and protect things. And the application of identity on blockchain technology, this concept of a distributed ledger that is validated through consensus, a decentralization of information, and a permanent record of activity. That combination of technologies is so well suited to cybersecurity. We started another company called Autonomy, and that is now have brought that solution to market where we can create identity through trust and reputation through a long look of how devices behave. That's uniquely suited to the issue that smart cities face. In smart cities, you have a heterogeneous environment, lots and lots of suppliers to cities. Those devices must work together, and the only way they can work together is they're known and trusted. So that's what's kind of brought me into smart cities and brought me into kind of the cybersecurity using blockchain technology.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us what a smart city means to you.
Wow. So I'm in Seattle, and Seattle has a smart city initiative. There's a bunch of cities around the world that are trying to accomplish a number of tasks. They want to lower their cost of doing business. That's like the idea that things can be connected and lower their operating costs. Cities want to bring more services to their residents. They want to create efficiency for things like traffic, for parking, how services are procured and delivered. So to me, a smart city is looking at what the industry has developed as kind of a static city, not a lot of connectivity, to a future state where a lot of the infrastructure and services are actually connected. Somebody who lives in a city can use applications to find parking spots instead of driving around, which is a big waste of time and money and causes congestion. People can pre-reserve a parking spot. That's just a simple but fabulous concept. First responders, how they navigate through the cities, they can now have the streetlights turn in favor of traffic so they can move through the city more efficiently. So just connectivity is what I think of when I think of smart cities.
Yeah, definitely. So why do you think that this concept is so important?
Well, the statistics show that in the not-too-distant future, at least in the United States, 70% of the population will live in urban areas. The cities are not well set up to deal with that migration. And I'm sure it's the same in Australia and Europe and Asia. There's massive collections of where people want to live, and cities just, you know, they need to think about how they can be more efficient. That's one of the catalysts, is really getting more efficient, environmentally efficient, population-wise. It can't do it the way we've kind of done in the past, right? Build more roads, build more cities, lay more infrastructure for utilities. We've got to take advantage of what's there and create efficiency out of it. And the application of IoT, this concept that the Internet of Things can bring connectivity across our lifetime, our lives, home and industrial settings and in cities, that's the catalyst. I think that's what's really, really important to think about.
Yeah, cool. So maybe we talk specifically in the space you're working in. How do you think that the US is kind of embracing that the smart city concept, but particularly, you know, the security and then, you know, using blockchain for that?
There are 19,000 municipalities in the United States, small cities, large cities, just a very, very large number of cities that are trying to figure out how to be more efficient, bring services. I think the U.S. is not leading, but certainly moving in the right direction with probably other cities that your audience thinks about when they think about smart cities, and I doubt it's one of the U.S. cities. However, there are a handful of known projects in cities that are making big investments, Boston, Chicago, New York, San Francisco. These are cities that are embracing this. So I think we're at an infancy in trying to figure this out. One of the challenges that I think the industry faces as a whole is around cybersecurity. Statistics have shown that every city has had some form of cybersecurity attack, data breach. There's no cities and probably no individual that's been immune to the concept of cybersecurity. So before cities really go all in on connecting their infrastructure, the industry's got to figure out how to address the cybersecurity risk. Imagine autonomous vehicles moving through a city, and somehow there's a hack that causes streetlights to all change at the wrong time. That would be terrible, right? That lives are at risk in that situation. So cybersecurity plays a very crucial role. And again, autonomy, what we're trying to do as a contributor to this problem, or a contributor to the solution, is to create identity of devices, identity of cars, and identity of things that connect using blockchain technology to make sure that the identity is validated not by one vendor, but by a very broad set of stakeholders in cybersecurity and the Internet of Things. And blockchain technology can make that happen with its distributed ledger and its consensus algorithms and methodology. So the bottom line there is cybersecurity can get better starting with identity and moving through the trust and then ultimately reputation of how devices interact. It's an important thing for us to solve.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about some of those projects and things that you're currently working on.
Cybersecurity for smart cities is probably our biggest initiative. Within the cities, there are projects that focus on the utility, water utilities, power utility, microgrids. We've got projects underway that are focused on how to solve interoperability across device manufacturers. So that's a big area of interest. Outside of smart cities, healthcare is an area that we're working on. Think about wearables and what biometrics can do to improve our quality of life and our overall health. Still a cybersecurity challenge there, and need to be able to get to known trusted devices. That's a second area. Industrial IoT, concept that the manufacturing floor is rapidly automating and connecting supply chain to this process improvement. A lot of that is area where IoT and a connecting world creates opportunities for bad guys, bad actors, but also a place where cybersecurity really needs to improve. And that's where we focus.
Yeah, cool. So we had a little bit of a discussion before we started recording about autonomous vehicles and how they're becoming less less of just a way to get from A to B and more of a platform. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I like the use case and the concept and a future where vehicles are truly autonomous. There's no driver. They're taking us to where we need to go. They're delivering packages. I think that's a fantastic future. But it, you know, with the positive also comes the risk of hacks and cybersecurity risks that they present. So imagine an autonomous vehicle driving through a city or down a freeway, and all of a sudden it receives a signal that is a false signal, but a signal that it should apply its brakes aggressively. Seems like a benign concept, but if it's in heavy traffic, that's a bad situation. It could cause an accident, it could put people's lives at risk. So lots of opportunity in autonomous vehicles to continue to improve, but I'm a big fan of someday in the future not having to drive, but to have the vehicle deliver me to where I want to go or packages to the office or home without a person doing it. Future state is fantastic.
Yeah, and I think it's actually less about like not having a driver and more about that connected part, which you were talking about, that if, you know, it's connected, then there's a cyber risk or a security risk. And I think people are talking a lot about, you know, the fact that there's not a driver, but if we just don't have drivers and it still works on sensors and that kind of thing, I mean, technically or theoretically, it could not be connected to anything else other than its own kind of sensors and cameras and that kind of thing. But it's that connected piece that really opens up this door for the bad actors.
Sure does. Yeah. And back to the example that I gave of heavy traffic conditions, bad actors can really create havoc there by just inserting false sensors or putting something on the side of the road that is not known, not trusted, but interfering with how vehicles move up and down the road. Yeah, it can be alarming, and chaos could be pretty real if the industry doesn't get their arms around it, for sure. You know, we think about this in the context of sensors or devices having to be known and trusted, whether it's in an autonomous vehicle or it's in an industrial setting or it's a sensor in a city. Security, good cybersecurity begins with identity and the idea that every device can be known and trusted. And we think that's a future state. We think that if that's a reality, the ability for actors and bad actors to interfere with systems go way, way down. Because the moment that was to occur, that device that was the initiator of the hack would immediately be isolated. It would no longer be trusted. It would be known as a bad actor. And it would be excluded from the system. And then you can see that pattern just repeat itself. And eventually it becomes harder and harder for hackers to interfere with systems. Like, we got to start with identity. And we move to trust and ultimately reputation, how devices behave over time.
So I'm interested to hear how your product kind of sits on the Ethereum blockchain. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So for your audience, just a quick level set, blockchain is an immutable ledger that goes back to kind of as far back in time as that particular blockchain was generated. So all of the history is permanent, and each new block creates a hash of the new data plus the previous block, and that becomes kind of the method by which we can create this permanent record. Blockchain also has this decentralization, so there's no single point of failure. View it as a broad fabric of systems that make up a blockchain. And then finally, consensus by many versus by one. So you no longer trust a single entity to identify what's true, but we trust many. Well, that is a fantastic starting point for cybersecurity. And the idea that we can decentralize the attack vector, we can create identity by consensus across many, many stakeholders, that is the foundation for what we're working on. Ethereum is known as the open business blockchain. Autonomy has launched the solution on Ethereum a couple months ago. Our technology is active. It's on what's called mainnet. Developers of IoT solutions download our technology, integrate it into their IoT solution, and immediately begin benefiting from an identity that is validated by many, establish trust, and then enable reputation. So as a device goes through this life cycle, how it behaves determines reputation. Just like our social media score, or perhaps our credit score, imagine that same concept with connected devices. And that's how we're using Ethereum and the blockchain.
Yeah, cool. So we'll change pace a little bit. I want to talk about, because I think you would integrate across different disciplines, right? Different government industries, that kind of thing. How do you think we can better integrate across, you know, all those different disciplines, government and industries?
Yeah, I think a lot of this is business. And so industry and the innovation that exists in business kind of starts, right? We're introduced to blockchain technology through the original Bitcoin introduction, and then the application of that through other kinds of industry applications. Fantastic. And we really like that the government has taken a bit of a hands-off in many ways around this technology. Some areas the government hasn't been clear enough on the application of cryptocurrency, at least in the United States. The regulatory climate is not as clear as we need it to be. It's much clearer in other countries. So that's a bit of an opportunity to make sure that innovation continues in all of the markets. Government and regulatory bodies see the application of that technology and actually provide clear guidance on how we can use it. So that's one of the biggest opportunities right now in the adoption of blockchain and cryptocurrency. I think governments, you know, municipality, getting back to smart cities, they can begin to develop standardization in many ways on how certain sensors are deployed within the city. So a different use case, something simple like delivery of utilities, of power within a city, how all of those devices communicate, how they tap into the power grid, how we allow for microgrids, so not just one power supplier, but many, giving the marketplace more efficiency through price, through efficient pricing. You know, those are areas that I think it's going to take the government's input to make sure that all players are kind of using the same protocols, same standards. So there's a lot of room for improvement here.
And I think I am definitely not an expert in blockchain by any means. I'm an amateur. But that integration piece, it seems like blockchain can be used to help that as well. You know, where there wasn't trust before, it's, you know, it can be used as a tool. Maybe not in the sense that you're speaking of, but it can be used as a tool to kind of build that. Well, you don't need to build that trust necessarily because you'll have a permanent record of what's happening, and then it's a consensus approach rather than having to believe that, you know, that happened or that person delivered that thing. It'll be immutable.
Yeah. Immutable, validated by many, no longer, you know, trust one, but trust all the stakeholders in the Internet of Things and in this case, cybersecurity. Yeah.
Cool. So the next question is about emerging trends. So what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about enough?
One particular trend that, well, I kind of think about a lot is cryptocurrency. Right now, cryptocurrency is an area where there's speculation, there's uncertainty on things. For me, what people aren't really talking about when it comes to crypto is the real utility and the value of moving towards currencies that are borderless, that are immune from politics, and really can serve a role in a lot of applications. We've been talking about smart cities, and really that's the concept of machine to machine, right? Machines interacting with other machines. Well, cryptocurrency is a perfect use of value in machine to machine. It doesn't make sense to put credit cards into machines or put our identity into devices, but it makes a lot of sense to use cryptocurrency as a method of payment between machines. That's a particular area that I've got a lot of interest in. Cryptocurrency is not going to replace regular currency or fiat. That's not going to happen anytime soon or ever. But cryptocurrency, outside of the speculative nature, does have tremendous utility, and specifically in the machine economy, more so in what we're talking about here, the smart cities. Well, I'd like to see more conversation on how crypto can really make it more secure, more efficient, more convenient in a machine economy.
Cool. I'm really glad you touched on crypto, because I was going to ask you, there's been a lot of speculation, and particularly, I guess it's worldwide, that, you know, it's spiked and now it's come, you know, it's plummeted, and, you know, people aren't sure anymore about what's, I mean, I don't think anyone was ever sure, but when it was going up, everyone was happy, you know, and like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're making money, whatever. Now that it's gone to, you know, plummeted a little bit, well, a lot, people are like, oh, you, and, you know, the naysayers were like, oh, see, we told you, you know, shouldn't have got involved. Although they were probably pretty eager to get involved when it was all heading to high values. I bought a little bit of crypto just for play money, just to play with. And, you know, I made a little bit of money, but yeah, definitely I don't even look at it now. So it's interesting. I'm glad that you talked about crypto. And you say, I like that you said, it was interesting that you don't think it will replace traditional currency, because I guess that's the kind of way we're playing with it at the moment. So the other use case, the machine to machine, I hadn't really thought about that in great detail. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, it's a really, really good use case. There's other use cases. Currently, cryptocurrency has both an asset value, like some kind of commodity, but it's also got a utility value. I can spend a Bitcoin, or I can spend, you know, an altcoin, and I can buy things and pay for services. And that's new. And it's only new as in 10 years maybe. So the average person has still not shown applications of cryptocurrency outside of the speculative nature. And that will come as the currency matures, as real businesses embrace the application of cryptocurrency and the value of what crypto can do in certain applications, certainly not all of them. But that's normal. Early generation, unfortunately, crypto also has this dark side where very early adopters use it for illegal activities, and it's hard to shed that bias. But I'm going to tell you, there are legitimate businesses that are using cryptocurrency for real-world applications to solve things that we wouldn't want to continue to try to do with cash, credit cards, personal information. You know what happens when we go down that path. That some criminal, some hacker gets my identity, gets my credit card because it's online, and uses it until my bank says, hey, there's this activity. Is it not you? And that's happened to me personally and probably happened to many of your audience. Cryptocurrency it's not subject to the same kinds of things. It's got its other areas of concern, but it's early in the life cycle of crypto.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's been so great to chat with you. I've learnt heaps, and I'm so glad that we had this convo. I really just have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
Fantastic. I would love to connect with your audience. First way is to come to our website, autonomy.io. It's autonomy.io, and learn about what we're doing. I'm on Twitter and I'm in Telegram. There's a very active community that follows our company in Telegram. You can learn about our company there. And I attend a bunch of industry events around the globe. Where we are next is available on our company website.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I'll put all the links in the show notes so everyone can click away and find your website and follow you on the socials.
That's great. Looking forward to continuing that conversation with your audience. This is a fantastic space that we're in. Smart cities affect all of us at some point or another. We have a long, long way to go, and future state can be very, very, very positive.
Awesome. Thanks again, Vaughn, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Joey, thank you so much.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.